Well, go to a familiar passage this morning, John 14. John chapter 14 in your Bible. And thanks for bringing it. If you don't have one, just maybe somebody sitting next to you can share with you and you can look at the text as we read here together. But very, very familiar passage, John 14, verses 1 through 6, well known by people who've been reading the Bible for some time. So some great verses here. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's Word. Now, please bear with us. Wednesday night during the service, we had a malfunctioning air conditioning unit, and they checked it on Thursday. There is a relay or some type of switch problem. They'll be fixing it, but it could not be corrected before today. It may get a little stiff on this side especially, okay? But bear with us if you would this morning. Hopefully it'll be bearable for the next so many minutes, amen, and we'll be done. Verses 1 through 6, John 14, please join me on the even-numbered verses. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Dear Lord, I thank you for this passage in your book. Every part of your book is wonderful, good. You breathed it from your mouth, your person. But I especially thank you for this passage. Lord, I'm glad it's in your Bible. I pray that you'll speak to us from that text today. May our hearts be receptive to your word. May you use the song to help prepare the soil of our hearts, Lord, for the preaching of your word. We'll thank you for it in a special way in Christ's name and amen. Thank you. Be seated. wonderful this morning. It'd be easy to think that it's the homosexual crowd, it's the gang-banging crowd, it's the dope-peddling crowd that stands between America and healing, but that's not what our Bible says.
Right.
Our Bible says it's me and you. That's heavy, isn't it? Our Bible says it's our pride. Our Bible says it's our prayerlessness. Our Bible says it's our wicked ways. Ouch. It'd be fun to scream and yell at that other group, wouldn't it? But really, that doesn't accomplish a whole lot. If revival comes and healing comes, it'll start here. Start in my heart, start in your heart. I don't know what we need to see happen to be convinced that revival needs to come. We need revival all across this place. So thank you for the good song this morning. That's a great prayer. God, heal our land. I want you to see what Jesus said in verse number 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. I will speak to you for a little while this morning on the subject of the Father's house. I like what he said, in my Father's house. I'm going to talk to you about the Father's house today out of John 14. Keep your Bible open. We'll look at these verses together. Thank you, dear God, for the song that we just heard. It helped my heart. Oh God, we need you to heal our broken land. Cause us, oh God, to humble ourselves and pray, seek your face, and then turn from our wicked ways. And God, your people's wicked ways. I pray, God, that you'll hear our prayer and forgive our sin and heal our land. We sure need it. This country is in desperate need of a heaven Holy Ghost sent touch. May it begin in our hearts. Thank you for what your Bible teaches us about the Father's house. Help me this morning. Speak to us, I pray. And we'll thank you in advance for the Holy Spirit help in Jesus' name. Amen. The good Lord willing, on Tuesday of this week, we will get to go to Florida to see my dad and mom. That's Joyce and I, the four kids who are with us, and Ben and Ashley and McKenna are going along. So we'll have a great time, Lord willing, in Florida as we get there starting Tuesday through the next. We'll be back for church Wednesday night a week from now. Next Sunday, Brother Jason, Brother Caleb will be speaking in my place. And so you'll get some young guns up here. Amen. And so bring your amen and bring your response. And boy, make them feel at home next week, okay? And you'll be helped for that, all right? But we'll get to go to Florida to see my dad and mom. It's still hard for me to think that Florida is where they are. Brother Woodward took his senior class for their trip to Orlando. It didn't even dawn on me to tell Brother Dan that that's where my folks are. I still am in the Georgia mode of thinking. It'll be our first trip to their new place since they moved from Georgia back at the end of January this year. And we're excited to see it. They love it. They have made the transition without a hitch. You know, I was going to play, you know, Mr. Counselor, wise, aged son, you know, when they moved. And I wrote them this long letter about all the things that they were going to experience now that they were moving from their only home of 71 years, you know, been in Atlanta area all their life. And they're moving to a place where you just don't pick up and move. You're going to hit the bottom. You're going to bottom out. Depression is going to set in. And they had a bit of it. Amen. So, so much for that letter. Amen. And so that was wasted time. Amen. I could have spent it much better doing something else. But anyway, some parts of it were helpful, but they didn't need that part. And I'm glad. I'm really thankful. Of course, you know, Tim's there, my brother. And so they're around one of their boys for the first time since all the boys left. And, you know, they can go to a basketball game. They can go see, Tim, my nephew Timothy do something and have Tim and Julie over to eat. And they had, back in February, they had Tim and Julie over to the house, and then Tim and Julie ate a meal and went home. It was the first time they'd done that with all their boys, because we all moved away. Nobody, you know, if we were there to eat a meal, we stayed, you know, for 2 or 3 days. So anyway, we're looking forward to seeing them. I'm blessed to still have both of my parents living here on earth. I understand that's a blessing. I think about that sometimes. I use my exercise time on the road to pray. When I pray for my folks, my wife's folks are living. My folks are living. I'm 50 years of age. Some of you folks haven't had your parents long before you turned 50. And I think about that. And I think about God's been good to us. And it'd be fun to see mom and dad again. I can still go and visit at my dad's house. even though I've been gone from home much longer than I was home. I was only home till 18. Then I was gone. I've been gone ever since 18. And so I've been gone from home much, much longer than I was home. Even though that's true, there's still something special about Dad's house. Something special about Dad's house. Kelly and Daniel went out to visit her folks in Ohio for the Memorial Day weekend. And I said to Kelly this morning, "How was your visit?" She said, "Not long enough." And that's how it is, isn't it? It's always too brief. And it's a blessing that I can still go to Dad's house. Something special about it. Dad's house will always be home. I don't know. It just always will be. I don't know if it's that way with you or not. I lived in Iowa for 10 years, lived here now for 17. But just something about Dad's house is kind of always what I think of when I think of home. I'm blessed. Dad was there when I was growing up, and Dad's been there all through these years, and he and Mom have never been separated, and that's a blessing, and Dad's house is home. I'll enjoy being there. I know we'll this week, seeing my dad and my mom, especially the older they get. You just never know. You just never have any idea what's going to happen. So we'll enjoy that. Now, Jesus, in this passage, had been talking with his disciples, and he had just told them that he was going to die on the cross, he was going to be buried, raised from the dead, and then go away. That's what he told them in chapter number 13. Now, this troubled the disciples greatly, bothered their hearts. They had left their vocations to follow Jesus now for these 3.5 years. They'd been following him wherever he went. He was their master. He was their teacher. He was their counselor. He was their friend. They were not interested in following anybody else because they loved him. And what troubled them most, and I would take you to this, but there's no need to take you to it. I'm convinced that what troubled them most about him telling them that he was going away was that he said to them, "For a while, you cannot come to where I'm going." Now, I believe that troubled them because they'd been with him for these 3.5 years, man, every step of the way during his public ministry. And so this troubled them greatly. After telling them that, he then began to teach them a little bit about where he was going. And so you have John 14. That's why you have verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled." He said, "Let me calm your fears. Let me calm your worries and your anxieties. Let me tell you a little bit about where I am going." He called the place he was going "my Father's house." He said, "I'm going to my Father's house." Now, let me ask you a question. Where did he go when he left heaven? When he left earth. I got ahead of myself. After he died, after he was buried, after he rose again, and then was alive on the earth for 40 days, where did he go when he left the earth? He went to heaven. So he called heaven "my Father's house." That's what heaven was to Jesus. Heaven was where he had lived. Obviously it wasn't where he'd grown up, because he always has been. But it's where he had lived with his Father from eternity past. It was his home. And his dad was there, his heavenly guardian, Joseph on earth. But his Father, God, his Father was in heaven. And so he said, "When I leave this world, I am going to my Father's house." Amen. God has a house. I like that. The Bible says his house is not made with hands. No carpenter's tools ever worked on God's house. No hammer ever pounded a nail in God's house. Saws never cut any boards in God's house. Mortar was never mixed in God's house. You see, God's house was created by His spoken word. A wonderful, beautiful house. And God has a house. I always like to point this out at funeral times, especially if the people who the funeral I'm preaching for, if they were saved, if they were born again believers, if they've gone to heaven. God has a house. God, you know, when people who are saved leave this earth, they don't float around on a cloud like Casper the Friendly Ghost, just in some kind of transparent soul bliss, floating around. That wouldn't be any fun. You'd get tired of that real quick. God has a house. And Jesus said, "When I leave here, I'm going to my Father's house." It's a place. It's a place more real than Bourbonnais, because it's been in existence a lot longer than Bourbonnais has been in existence. Amen. It's a place not more real than this auditorium. This auditorium will burn up and blow away someday. God's house is eternal in the heavens. Amen. And that's where Jesus called it. He called it my Father's house. It's where saved people go when they leave this world. We saw the DVD of the trip to Mexico last Sunday night during the service. And at the end of the DVD was the tribute to little Abigail Reardon. And I don't know about you. I told Brother Jeff, standing over here in the aisle during fellowship time after we watched the DVD, I said, Jeff, boy, the thing that gets me most about that little tribute is the smile on Rhonda's face. Oh, my goodness, man, what a great, big, huge, huge smile. And wasn't that a pretty little baby girl? Wasn't she just, and isn't she? She's still that way, amen? And I don't know what kind of shape, form she's in, but I know where she is, amen? I know that for sure. But, boy, to see the smile on her mother's face, my goodness, that touched my heart. And they put the little caption on there at the end. From mom's arms to his. Now, that's not just cute. That's reality. And when little Abigail Reardon left, when her soul, spirit left her body, whenever that happened, and Brother Clint thinks that it happened 2 or 3 days before her lungs quit breathing because of the machines and so forth. But that's exactly what happened, friend. When Abigail Reardon left this earth, she didn't just go to a cloud, some kind of misty abode, floating around with Casper and all of his buddies. She went to a place. She went to a house. She went to God's house. Jesus called it my Father's house. Now, what about the Father's house this morning? Let me give you 4 simple thoughts on it, and then we'll be dismissed in just a little bit after the invitation. Number one, let me say that the Father's house is big. It's big. Look at verse number 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. Isn't that a blessing? You say, how many? Well, I don't know. I'm not sure, but I know this much. There's enough mansions there to accommodate all the believers who've been saved down through the ages. Amen. And that's a pretty big place when you start adding all that up. The truth is, friend, really, we don't have any idea how big heaven is. I know the Bible tells us in Isaiah that God's right hand spans the heavens. That's a pretty big hand. I don't know how big heaven is. It's huge. But I know this, there's room for everyone who has trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And there's room for everyone who would be willing to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior too. There'll be room there in that place. It's a big place. Houses can, here on earth, houses can get a little crowded if the family grows large in number. And you know, isn't it the truth? Don't you start thinking a little bit when your kids start getting marrying age and they start moving out, you know, and taking spouses and having children? Don't you start thinking, folks, about, boy, we want to make sure that at Christmas and Thanksgiving we have a place big enough to have all the kids come home? You start thinking about that, don't you? You know, you want a little place that, you know, and then all of them do come home. Then you walk around going, when are they leaving? Amen. You know, when is this over, okay? And I mean, you know, when you got family, you got families, I'm talking about even your own marriage, when you got families living together, this family unit and this family unit, this family unit, you know, living together even for a week, 6, 7 days, man, you have to make adjustments and accommodations, and sometimes you have to set washing and drying schedules, and you thought you had enough food bought for the week. And the next day it's gone. And I mean, you know, there's bathroom situations that have to get worked out. And I mean, shower times have to be assigned. You say, how do you know this? Amen. Yes. Yeah. Yes. It gets a little crowded, doesn't it? I will tell you something. Heaven will never be crowded. The Father's house is big enough to accommodate every born again child of God. Big enough to do that. Big enough to have a place for every believer to live. Sometimes I marvel at the size of the houses that they're building nowadays here. You drive through some of these subdivisions, and I'm not against it. If folks can have it, that's wonderful and great. I feel sorry for people who got themselves in a mess. And a whole bunch of them did, didn't they? And but man, you drive by, and I mean, I read the other day, presidential candidate John Edwards, you know, he's going to be the voice for the poverty stricken. Did you read that? That trial lawyer who's made his money fleecing companies, you know, that's what they do. I said, that's what they do, trial lawyers. They fleece companies. That's what they do. And prey on companies. And he's going to be the voice for the poor, the poverty stricken. He lives in a 28,000 square foot home on 22 acres. And I thought to myself, oh, he really knows about being a voice for the poverty stricken. 28,000. Can you imagine? 28,000. That would fit 10 and 15 of our houses in it. Huh? 28,000 square feet in one house. But he's going to be the voice for the poverty stricken. Oh, my goodness gracious. That's incredible. And the truth of the matter is, you know, like I said, that would be one tenth of that would be big to most of us. You know, honest to truth, that's the truth. But one of these days, glory to God, I'm going to live in a place that's real big. Jesus said, in His Father's house are many mansions. And I like that word mansion. I don't think it's a mistranslation. I think it's right. I think anything Jesus does will be first class. Amen. Be big and sharp and beautiful. And we're going to go there to live someday. I wish we really believed that. Maybe we wouldn't live like paupers. I don't mean financially. I mean we wouldn't live like paupers in our Christian behavior if we really believe we're going to live in a mansion someday. Hey, we start acting like right now. I'm going to tell you something, friend. In ourselves, we're nobody. We're nothing. That's what the Bible tells us. Paul said, in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. But I'm going to tell you something. In Jesus Christ, because of Christ, we're somebody. We're going to live in a mansion someday. That's what's up there. And so Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. The Father's house is real big. Let me say, number, if you've ever wanted to live in a real big house and just couldn't afford it down here, just hang on. And you won't even have to clean it. No dust bunnies. Amen. Company over. You know how it is? Company comes over and you're sitting there and you look up in the corner and there's the ever-present spider web. Won't be any of that in heaven. Amen. No, sir. I'll be a mansion. It's a big place. Number two, let me say this morning, I love the Father's house is a source of encouragement. It's a source of encouragement. He told these boys, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you I go to prepare a place for you. Now, friend, that's a source of encouragement. Hasn't that been the people of God's encouragement down through time? Hasn't that been our encouragement? This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. That's been our encouragement down through the years. The Father's house is a source of encouragement. This old world with all of its trouble, with all of its toil, all of its sorrow, all of its sin, all of its death, all of its disaster, all of its wickedness, all of its woe. This old world is not our final resting place. This old world is not my final dwelling place. We're going somewhere someday. We've got a title deed. A title deed. We've got a title. Where's your title deed this morning for your house? Some of you got your house paid for. You got the title deed put away in the safety deposit box. Others of you got to say you're still paying at the bank. You got 5 years left, 8 years left. Some of you 15. So where's that title? We got a title deed to a mansion in the sky. And friend, that's been a source of encouragement down through the years to the people of God. This eternal home made by God where all is joy and peace and right. You know, I believe with all my heart that had to encourage Stephen when he was getting martyred. When those stones began to hit him. Actually, before that, when they began to gnash on him with their teeth and they began to gather the rocks and he knew what was coming, the Bible says he looked up and when he looked up, the heavens opened. And he saw standing at the right hand of God, Jesus Christ. Standing there. Well, our Bible tells us that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. But not when martyrs get ready to come home. Jesus was standing. What an encouragement that had to be to Stephen. He knew what was coming. He was going to die, but he knew as soon as he breathed his last breath, that's where he was going. Amen. Had to encourage his heart. I think about Paul the Apostle in prison there. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Boy, he said, you know, he said, God has revealed to me that the time of my departure is at hand. You say, how did it? I remember old Dr. Bruce Cummins, now in heaven, Massillon Baptist Church and Massillon Baptist College. He talked about Paul being in that prison cell. And he said, Paul, early one morning, heard the sharpening of the... heard the sharpening of the axe. And he called the bailiff over, he called the guard over, and he said, "Who are they sharpening that axe for?" And the guard said, "I don't tell you." And Paul said, "Tell me, who are they sharpening that axe for?" He dropped his head and he said, "Paul, they're sharpening it for you." God showed him he was going to leave. He knew. And when he walked out that door, that prison, he was going to have his head chopped off. He knew it. But God also encouraged his heart with this thought. Paul said, henceforth, he said, I've fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. What encouraged Paul at the point of death? Heaven encouraged Paul at the point of death. He wasn't going to lay around lifeless, a lifeless body on this earth. He was going somewhere, brother. It's been a source of encouragement. I remember when Lester Roloff, man, he had the ministry for those children down there. And all the battles he fought. Oh my goodness, the battles he fought. And would not take a license. They tried to run his home. And the home's the ministry of the church. And the government tried to interfere. And he would not take a license. And he had to go to jail twice, maybe three times. I don't even know exactly how many times. And I remember I was at Howes Anderson College when he came. He came to speak at the chapel. And later on, Dr. Howes told us, said, Brother Roloff called me and said, "Brother Jack, can I come? Did I just come be at the church or be at the college? I just need some encouragement." And Lester Roloff came and he preached in chapel. I'll never forget it. He took his coat off. He gave the testimony. He talked about the burdens and he talked about the trials. And the tears rolled down his cheeks. I mean, when he preached, he wept all the time. The tears rolled down his cheeks. And I never will forget, he took his coat off and he was up on the platform and he was singing, "When with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful there? Ended the troubles and cares of this story land, won't it be wonderful there?" Tears rolling down his face, "Won't it be wonderful there?" You say, what is that? That's encouragement. It's what it is. It's what God's people get from heaven. It's what heaven provides for us. The burdens get heavy. The trials get deep. The valleys get difficult. But friend, we're going somewhere someday. This is not our final place. We're headed somewhere, huh? It's called my Father's house. That's what he talked about. It's what Jesus called. He called it my Father's house. It's been a source of encouragement. I can't see how you can sit there and hear about heaven and I'll see how you can do it. I'll never do that. By the grace of God, I'll never do that. If somebody's preaching on heaven, I'm going to have my hand in there saying amen or something. I'm thankful. I'm happy I'm going there someday. My Father's house. This is not a pep rally. This is the honest to God Bible truth. He called it my Father's house. It's been a source of encouragement down through the years for God's people. How many songs do you sing to yourself? And the theme of that song is what? Heaven. Sure. Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the sky. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Sure. Sure. Hey, the pearly gates will open so that I may enter in. Sure. It's what you sing about. Sure it is. Amen. One day we'll be there, folks. That's a source of encouragement. And I know some of you, maybe it doesn't help solve the problem that you're facing right now. Maybe it doesn't work out the intricate details of the difficulty you're involved in. But I tell you what it will do. Heaven will put a spark in you. Heaven will give you some strength. Heaven will give you some encouragement. And that's what you need to get through some difficulties. A little encouragement. Heaven's been a source of encouragement down through the years. Beautiful music will be there. A river as clear as crystal. Wouldn't you love to get to the places on earth here where that water is so clear you can see everything? See right to the bottom. Huh? Like the Kankakee River out here. Amen. So. If that's all that was going to be in heaven, why we'd be miserable. What you got to look forward to? The Kankakee River. Oh, boy. Street made of gold so pure, it's transparent. Source of encouragement. How could it not be? We're going to a land of no sorrow. We're going to a land of no sickness. We're going to a land of no pain. We're going to a land of no worry, no fear, no death, no funeral. It's encouraging. It's encouraging. We'll be there. My Father's house. Father's house is real big. Big enough to accommodate all those who've been saved without crowding. The Father's house is a source of encouragement. Jesus used it to encourage these men. I go to prepare a place for you. Do you need a little encouragement this morning? You need a little encouragement throughout the week? Get you some good old songs about heaven. Play them and sing along and think about that land that's fairer than day. And by faith we'll see it afar. It'll be a great day. Number three, let me say this morning, the Father's house is a place where we are wanted. Look at verse number three. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I love this. And receive you unto myself. What? Look at what Jesus said. That where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus said, I want you to live with me. Me? Dirty old filthy rotten sorry sinner. And He wants me to live with Him? The sinless, spotless, pure, holy Son of God? How many of you would drive up the Lower Wacker Drive? Find the scroungiest, nastiest, homeless, filth-caked, covered bum. Say, come live with me. That's basically what's going to happen. Oh, vile, wicked, filthy sinners. Saved and cleaned up by the blood of Jesus. He says, I want you to come live with me. You ever been in any place where you kind of got the impression you weren't wanted? You get that out soul winning sometimes. You know, you get it, you know, they invite you in. And you're standing there, and there's five or six chairs, a couch, a love seat, two or three chairs, and you stand there. And nobody ever says, have a seat. Yeah, what do you want? Oh, okay, yeah. Well, oh, yeah, sure. Well, yeah, I see your buses. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I know about you. And you leave, you kind of get the idea, I don't think they wanted us. Or better yet, they meet you, they see you coming, and they come out and meet you on the sidewalk. That happened to me a couple of times. They meet you on the sidewalk, and it's kind of like, you know, far enough. I'm not getting the plague in my house. Far enough, amen. And you kind of leave with the impression, you know, they weren't too happy to have us there, and I think they're glad. Everybody enjoys being in a place where you feel accepted and wanted. If you were on vacation in Florida and you called my folks' house, if they didn't have a busy schedule, if there wasn't something going on, if it wasn't too much trouble, they might work it out to accommodate you. I don't try that. I'm just kind of, you know, just talking this morning. Your son said we could stay with you for our 3-week vacation. It's not what I'm talking about. But when one of the boys or the grandchildren calls and says, hey, we'd like to come see you. It's what? Come on. Sure. Because we're family. That's what's going to be in heaven someday. Jesus said to Peter, Do you think Jesus knew that Peter was going to deny him? You think Jesus knew that Peter was going to swear and say, I don't know him, and then go back to fishing? You think Jesus knew that Thomas was going to say, I don't believe it. I won't believe it until I see it. You think Jesus knew all that? And he still said to those men, I want you to live with me. That's why I'm coming back for you. I want you to live with me. Everybody enjoys being in a place where you feel accepted and wanted. And in the Father's house, there is a genuine desire on the part of Jesus Christ for all of His brethren, all of those who've been saved, to come live. I've got a house. My Father has a house. It's a big place. There's crystal river. There's golden street. There's walls made of jasper. The gates are pearl. The angels are singing. There's no cemeteries or hospitals. There's no pharmacies. And I want you to live with me. No lower whacker drive in heaven, I'll tell you that much. Jesus said, I'm going to come get you because I want you to be with me. John chapter 17, verse 24, don't turn to it. Let me just read it to you, can I? We got it right here. He's praying. Now listen to this. Listen to what he said here. Don't miss his words. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. I want, Father, if I could ask you something, I want for all those you've given me to come live with me. I want them to be where I am. Jesus wants us to come live where He lives, and He's coming to take us to that place unless we go there first by way of the grave. The Father's house is big. The Father's house is everybody's wanted in the Father's house. The Father's house is a source of encouragement. Let me say number four this morning as a close. The Father's house has one door. Look at verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, look at verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In chapter 10 and verse 9, don't turn to it, Jesus said, I am the door. Now listen very closely, friend. There's only one entrance into heaven. You hear all this stuff? Well, we all believe in the same God and we're all going to end up at the same place. Well, that sounds cute, doesn't it? The only problem with that is, it'd be like if I told you the world is flat. It just is not true. There's not 14 different ways to heaven. There's one way, there's one door. That's through Jesus Christ. His death, His burial, His resurrection made it possible for us to be saved and make heaven our home. You know, one of the sad things to me is there are some really sincere people who are really, really doing their best to get to that place. I was out early this morning for my exercise and coming back up the road to the house, and I saw my 80-something-year-old farmer neighbor driving into Mass. I see his daughter drive to Mass every morning. I said, every day. That's pretty sincere, folks. Some people who are saved can't find a church on Sunday morning, one day a week. Every day. That's pretty sincere. Breaks my heart. The sacraments, communion, baptism, good works, self-righteousness. None of those are doorways to heaven. There's only one door to heaven. That's Jesus Christ. His death, His burial, His resurrection. Have you gone through that door? Have you come to that door? Have you come to Christ? Have you trusted Him as your personal Savior? Because you're like I preached about myself earlier. We're all vile, wicked sinners. We don't have to be taught how to lie. We don't have to be taught how to be selfish, how to be ugly. It comes puking out from within us because it's what we are. And you got to see yourself as a sinner. And boy, the wages of sin is eternal separation from God forever in the place the Bible calls hell. That's the opposite of heaven. It's the opposite of everything I've talked about this morning. Then you got to come to Christ. See His death, His burial, His resurrection as payment for your sin and embrace that. Receive Jesus. I'm sorry for my wicked sin, and I take you now as my personal Savior. That's salvation. That's going through the door. Amen. And that's the only door. That's the only door that opens into the place I've been talking about, the Father's house. Heard about a young man. His heart was distraught. God was working on him. He was distraught and burdened about eternal life. He went to a preacher, went to a pastor, and he said, could you please tell me what I have to do to find peace? And the pastor said, you're too late. The guy was frantic. Too late? You mean I am too late for this thing of being saved? And the preacher said, no. You're just too late to do anything about it. Jesus Christ did it all 21 centuries ago. All you got to do is embrace what He did. Amen. That's salvation. That's the door. That's going through the door. And that door, my friend, opens up into heaven. That eternal home of the soul. Jesus called it my Father's house. It's a great big place. It's a source of encouragement. Jesus wants us to be with Him there. It only has one door. If you're going to go be with Him, you're going to have to go through Him. And that's the only way. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. It's been a very wonderful congregation. God bless you. But let me ask you two or three questions before we get ready for the invitation today. And at this time in the service, now I'm going to ask two or three questions. All I ask from you is please be honest. I just ask you to be honest. That's all. Brother Angel, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I've been through the door. I've embraced the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as my salvation. I know that I'm saved. If that's your testimony, on the main floor from front to back, side to side, in the balcony, if that's your testimony, would you raise your hand this morning in recognition of that? If you know you've been saved. Thank you. Take your hands down. Is there one here this morning who would say, Pastor Angel, one or two or three or four, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. I could not raise my hand a moment ago. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. But I'd sure like to know that I was going to heaven. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please? Let me pray for you this morning. Would you just raise it up in the air and put it right back down? Pastor Angel, pray for me that I'm concerned about my eternal destiny. Anybody like that here this morning? Not sure that I'm saved. Front to back, side to side in the balcony. Member, visitor. I'm not sure that I'm saved. All right. Someone's here this morning. I've been saved, Pastor, but not baptized in deep water since I've been saved. I need to be obedient to Christ. Pray for me. Anybody like that here this morning? God bless you. Is there another? God bless you and you. Now's the time. If you came to be baptized, you come right now. We have everything ready for you. Step out of your seat. Come this way. And we'll get ready to be baptized. We'll get you ready to be baptized this morning. Be obedient to the Lord. You can come right now. God bless you. Is there another? Is there another? While we wait. Our heads are bowed and eyes are still closed. I believe they're getting a couple of the young people from the Sunday school upstairs. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you've not been baptized, now is a good time to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. If you've not been saved, in just a minute when we give the invitation, come and trust Christ. Come to Brother Caleb right down here at the front of the
aisle here and say, I just need to be saved. Somebody can take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Christian, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he calls heaven his Father's house. Well, you're headed there someday. Do you need encouragement this morning? You struggling? Going to heaven may not be the answer to your difficulty, but the thought of it could be enough strength. The thought of it could be enough encouragement to get you through your difficulty. Huh? And isn't it a blessing that Jesus wants us to come live with Him? Brother Angel, pray for me. The Lord spoke to my heart during that part of the message particularly. I need a little bit of encouragement. And the thought of heaven does spark a little revival in my soul. Pray for me this morning. Would you lift a hand, please, wherever you're sitting? Well, amen. Amen. God bless you. My dear Father, I love you. I thank you for your word. I especially thank you for this portion of Scripture. And I thank you for bringing our thoughts to it this morning. What a wonderful place, the Father's house. Someday we're going to be there. God, help us to be faithful to you. Help us to serve you and live for you. Thank you that your Son Jesus wants us to come live with him. He's coming to get us someday to go live there. May that thought be a source of encouragement to every hand, the person that represented by every hand this morning. Meet that need. Oh God, is my prayer, I pray. Lord, whatever the difficulty is, there'll have to be other ways to work it out. But may there be joy and strength in the thought of heaven. May it put the song that Lester Roloff sang that day, Won't It Be Wonderful There? May it put that song in their heart today. Thank you for loving us so much. We love you back. In Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you want to respond to the invitation this morning, the ladies are playing a song of invitation. Now's the time to come. Now's the time to come. Just tell the Lord, God, I need that. Thank you for heaven. I pray that you'll help me get through the difficulty, help me get through the tough time. Thank you that you love us. Would you come while we wait? As God speaks to your heart, would you come? Would you come? My Father's house. Jesus called heaven his Father's house. We'll be there someday. So hang on there, weary Christian. Take a little joy. Take a little encouragement. Heaven is your home. While we wait this morning, would you come?